This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Last week was layoff week at Emporia State University. Faculty members in a series of departments were let go across the university. That included even faculty members with tenure, and that's raising new questions about the future of tenure at colleges and universities across the country. Tenure came along decades ago when enrollments were soaring and demand for professors was strong. All that has changed in recent years, and enrollments are said to be stagnant or even declining. Now a conversation about the slow death of tenure and what's happening down at Emporia State. With us, Max McCoy is a journalist and author and a longtime journalism professor at Emporia State. He just received notice that he was one of those being laid off. Max, nice to have you on the show. Good morning.
Thanks, Steve. Nice to be here.
Also here is Richard Vetter. He's a distinguished professor of economics emeritus at Ohio University who's written about tenure. He's the author of Restoring the Promise, Higher Education in America. Richard, good morning to you.
I'm delighted to be with you, Steve.
Max, I'm sorry about the layoff. How were you told?
Well, it was surreal, Steve. The 33 of us were called in one at a time to a building off campus. We received a phone call saying it was a mandatory meeting. We had to be there in an hour, come no more than 5 minutes before, and come alone. It was like something out of a spy novel. So we went across to a building that's called the Earl Center, which is up for sale, pretty dingy on the inside. And we were fired assembly line process one at a time, each taking about 20 minutes. And given no reasons for our firing during the sessions, other than some really broad generalities with this framework that ESU has adopted, which includes everything from realignment of programs to financial need. And oh, and the letter that we were given also says it may include other reasons too that aren't in the letter.
How big a surprise was this for you?
Wasn't a big surprise for me. I had anticipated it. Of course, I'm one of the more outspoken professors on campus. I had a column in the Kansas Reflector just a couple of days before the firing. Mm-hmm. And I said, this column may get me fired. It was my fear, and it is still my concern, that my columns may have contributed to my firing. There's no way to know because the university is not really saying what the reasons are at this point.
Are you going to finish out the school year?
As I understand it, most of the professors are being allowed to continue their contracts through May. I don't know. I'm thinking about my options. Talking to my wife, Kim, about it and looking at the situation pretty carefully to determine what is the best thing for us to do and really what is the best thing for the journalism program that I will be leaving. Haven't been told whether the journalism program will continue or not. I certainly would like it to. I'm committed to it. They're great students, and I'm very proud of the work they've done.
Max, were you tenured?
I am. I was tenured, yes.
So how can a university lay off faculty members with tenure? Because I think a lot of people believe that tenured protected professors can't be let go.
Well, let me answer in two parts that, Steve. One, I think the firing was improper because they didn't follow the established university procedures for this. There are well-established guidelines for letting go professors, and you know, professors can be fired for all of the same reasons that other people can. Chronic low performance, if a program is discontinued, those are just a couple of the primary ones. But the university has rules that when we signed on as tenure track professors and got tenure, we were told that these would be followed, these would be obeyed. And it was a kind of contract with the university. You know, when I came on, I swore an oath to uphold the Constitution of the state of Kansas. And I gotta say, I feel like the state of Kansas is letting us down. I don't think financial need is the reason for this layoff. Right now, the state of Kansas has a projected $3 billion in revenue surplus. The university has not declared financial exigency. They're saying this is for realignment of programs. So this just doesn't add up. And we don't know what the university's plan is. They have not shared it with us. Let me also say something about tenure, that tenure really protects ideas. And this is the important thing about it. Yes, it does protect professors, but professors take a little lower pay than they could get out in the marketplace, out in the a job elsewhere. And for that, professors have an expectation of continued employment. Without that tenure, then the ideas, the research, the columns, the books we write, the classes we teach are all subject to the whims of whatever administration is in power. And this is exactly what has happened here. So I see this move to destroy tenure in Emporia State as kind of a beachhead for others to land upon, that this is a test case. Boy, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we could get rid of those pesky professors in the humanities?
Yeah.
And by the way, the cuts weren't evenly across campus. The cuts, which amount to about a quarter of the tenure track and tenured faculty here, were mostly centered in my department, which is English, Modern Languages, and Journalism, and also in sociology.
You know, one more thing that I want to bring Richard into our conversation. You know, your layoff comes after the State Board of Regents approved what they called a workforce management plan just last week. How can it be that tenured faculty, you know, can be laid off under this plan? What was the workforce management plan, Max? What do you know about it?
Well, this was originally passed by KBOR in
the Board of Regents
during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Or, pardon me, or in Kansas Board of Regents during 2021, and it was a COVID era policy aimed at giving schools the necessary tools to cope with the pandemic. Well, that's the pandemic is pretty much over. We're past that. The Regents extended this in June, and so they provided this mechanism. No other state university took advantage of it, except for Emporia State. And this was after we got a new president in, Ken Hush, and this was a little surprising because the presidential search was done. It was a closed search. It was a secret search. And he was simply announced, and the faculty had no opportunity to interview him or evaluate the candidates like we have had in the past.
Huh.
So also what was troubling is that Ken Hush has no advanced degrees. He has a bachelor's degree. That's his highest degree. He was the CEO of a Coke subsidiary. Coke Carbon. He contributed heavily to Coke Pack, tens of thousands of dollars. Coke Pack, of course, contributes to mostly conservative candidates, and some of whom are climate change deniers. This does not seem to me to fit what a university president at a public institution in Kansas should be. So this is, just looking at the optics, this is bad. Put that together with the mass firings, the assembly line firings, and it leaves a lot of questions unanswered, and no answers are really forthcoming from the administration. They haven't identified what their plan is.
Right.
Let me say one more thing about this plan. It was meant to give universities an ability to cope with financial hardship.
Right.
That really has not been demonstrated here. We've had a lot of talk about enrollment numbers. Enrollment overall is only down a couple percent since 2017. It's not the huge drop that the administration would have others believe.
Yeah. Well, Richard, let me bring you into our conversation here. How unusual is it, what we're seeing at Emporia State right now, based on what you're seeing across the country?
Well, I think the Emporia State situation seems much more egregious than in other places that I've heard of.
More egregious in what sense, Richard?
Well, in the sense of inhumane, this calling people into rooms across campus and firing them in a way, having a president without an advanced degree and so forth. This is a little unusual in higher ed. And So I have a lot of sympathy for Max in that regard. However, having said that, the move to get away from tenure arrangements is a big move that's going on nationally. It's been going on for some extent for a generation or for the last decade or so at least. The percentage of classes taught in American higher education by tenured professors was once upon a time very, very high. And by tenured faculty, I mean people who are either have tenure or are on tenure track, that
right.
is, on their way to get tenure.
Right.
And I would guess in 1970, say, maybe three-quarters of classes were taught by faculty in that situation. At my university, I know it was around 90%. We had mostly people with tenure or aspiring to tenure. Some graduate students were doing some teaching at large universities and so forth. But a large percentage of the dominant teaching was by tenured faculty. By today, that percentage has declined to below 50%. That is to say, there are more classes in America, more students in America being taught by non-tenured faculty than by tenured ones.
Why is that happening, Richard?
Well, to save money is what the universities are saying. We are in a we need to cut costs. We need to reduce our expenditures. And here I think Max would probably agree with me. University administrations have become excessively interested in things unrelated to the job one of universities, which is teaching and research. They've lost sight. They've gotten diverted into a whole variety of other things. There's been administrative bloat at schools and so on. But putting that aside, the basic problem is a basic reality is that the percentage of university budgets that go for direct instruction of students has declined over time.
And the consequence of that, Richard, is what? What should the average listener take away from this fact that there are fewer tenured faculty members at major colleges and universities?
Well, I think there ought to be a concern. Are universities doing what they're supposed to be doing? And why does it cost so much? And why do we need so, you know, what's going on here? And part of the problem is the cost of universities have been pushed up by a variety of other things. Some of them are government policies. For example, a big issue right now is, you know, the student loan program has gotten a lot of attention recently. Well, the student loan program has provided universities with the opportunity to raise tuition fees much more aggressively than they would if that program hadn't existed. Mm-hmm. And so fees have gone up quite a bit. So parents are upset. Politicians are upset about rising fees. So that is part of the picture as well.
Right. Max McCoy, how essential do you think tenure is to higher education and the future of higher education?
Well, I think tenure is absolutely important for higher education. Without it, we don't have meaningful higher education. And by that, you know, Richard talked about the number of tenured and tenure-track faculty teaching courses going down. I agree with most of what he said. What you have to remember is that tenure brings expertise to the campus. It also brings people into the communities where these universities are, that they strengthen the communities.
Mm-hmm.
This becomes a place where ideas are welcome, and sometimes dissenting ideas are welcome. This becomes a fabric of the community, and this is what we're seeing here in Portia. It's like a funeral, Steve, is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a candlelight vigil on campus. And, you know, I taught my class last night, photojournalism, and walked out past the candlelight vigil on campus. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, they're having a funeral for me and the other professors. This is what it felt like. But tenure is important because without it, it's difficult to maintain the quality of education. It's also difficult to maintain that mentoring process. And I think a lot of schools are taking a look at this and saying, well, why can't we just get people to teach online? We could get somebody anywhere. We could get somebody, you know, across the country to teach this right. photojournalism course that Professor McCoy is teaching. Well, it's a different experience for the students when they are face-to-face in the classroom and they can reach out to their mentors at any time.
Right.
This is what I'm hearing from my students, that this is the thing they value. Also, I think, you know, tenure is blamed for the high cost of tuition. It's not tenure. Here in Kansas, it's the state deciding to cut support right. for higher education during the past, about 15 years. And also, there's a statistic that I want to cite about administrative bloat. And I'm glad that Richard brought this up. But here in Kansas, on Kansas campuses, and this comes from Forbes from March of 2021, that while instructional spending rose by about 6% from 2012 to 2018, administrative spending increased by 9%. Mm-hmm. These are huge numbers.
Okay.
That's $25 million for instructional spending compared to $63 million for administrative spending.
Richard, do you share Max's view of the importance of tenure? Because, you know, a lot of listeners listen, you know, chiming in here in our conversation might wonder about why anyone's job needs to be guaranteed in this marketplace. What about that?
Well, I will, as one who had a governor of my state give a press conference once who said veterans should be fired, and give him an F on his report card, I, too, like Max, have sometimes said things that are, should we say, contentious. And it is true that tenure does provide job security, and that job security is for, and Max mentioned this himself earlier, is in effect an important fringe benefit. Why do we go into teaching in the first place? Well, one reason we go into it is we will have job security, we'll have the ability to say what we think, we'll be able to exercise our sort of First Amendment rights within reason, of course, consistent with the position that we have
right.
and so on. And so, you know, it is a nice fringe benefit. But fringe benefit, it does come with cost. I'm putting my economist hat on, pretending I'm a university president now. It is true that if you have an entirely tenured faculty, you have enormous fixed costs, and it makes it very difficult
okay.
to reallocate resources.
Let me grab some phone calls here. Some folks have been waiting. Let me go to Jason from Greenwood, Missouri. Jason, you're on Up to Date.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet.
I just wanted to make a comment that I have both my undergraduate and graduate degrees from Emporia State. I have a master's in mathematics and a computer science undergrad. And I have actually been supporting the math department with a scholarship for the last couple of years, which I'm planning to cancel later today due to the actions of both the university and the comments made by Gwen Larson, their director of communications, stating, I'll paraphrase it, but she stated to Fox 4, more or less, that anytime there's free expression on campus, there will be a police presence. And I'm just curious about your comments on that, and I will take any comments off the air or yeah. off the phone.
Max McCoy, what do you think?
Well, first of all, Jason, thanks for your support. I appreciate it. The police presence on campus at peaceful demonstrations is becoming more and more concerning. And the campus newspaper ran into this, and I'm the advisor to the campus newspaper. So I've talked to the students about this extensively. They've been denied interviews. They have been kicked out or have been tried to, people have tried to kick them out of the president's office, trying to, when they try to hold the president accountable, they ask for interviews, they don't get interviews, they show up, they wait around, as journalists do. But the police presence has been fairly heavy since the firings. So heavy, in fact, that the university president, Ken Hoesch, is being escorted into and out of his office by three campus police officers. And this is a really disturbing image. This sends the wrong message to the community.
Richard, just a final point. Are smaller schools the ones that are more vulnerable to seeing positions cut and tenure lost, given the economics of scale here?
I'm not sure it's size. There is a qualitative dimension, a perceived qualitative dimension. Kids want to go to schools with the best reputations, rightly or wrongly best reputations, the Harvards, the Yales, and so forth. Maybe in Kansas they want to go to the University of Kansas. I don't know. But therefore, the schools that have a more of a regional reputation, who serve more of a regional population, like Emporia State, and I'm at a school somewhat similar to that, so I understand this, they're the ones that are suffering the biggest enrollment declines, the biggest problems. I understand Emporia hasn't had the enrollment decline, but they are the ones that are suffering, and they are taking it. They are suffering a disproportionate part of the problem. They're, you know, more of the problem. But
okay.
There's mixed schools that are suffering, too.
Well, we're going to leave our I got a scoop, Max. We're going to leave our conversation there, but we're going to keep an eye on what's going on down in Emporia here. That was the voice of Richard Vedder, his book, Restoring the Promise, Higher Education in America. He's a distinguished professor of economics emeritus at Ohio University. Max McCoy also joined us, a journalist, author, and longtime journalism professor at Emporia State who just got his notice. Gentlemen, thank you much for the conversation. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
You bet.
Richard, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.